Our first lesson is from 1 Kings. We continue along in the story, although, to be honest, we've jumped a couple hundred years since last Sunday. I know that we'll see, it's hard to think about a couple hundred years out of thousands of years. We probably won't notice, but I'm telling you, we've jumped a couple hundred years. So we have skipped ahead from the division of the kingdom of Israel, and we're into the thick of the time of the kings. And so 1 Kings 16, beginning at verse 29, we're going to re-meet, I guess is the better way, an old favorite. In the 38th year of King Asa of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, began to reign over Israel. Ahab, son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And as if that had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, he took as his wife Jezebel, daughter of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab also made a sacred pole. Ahab did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than had all of the kings of Israel who were before him. In the days of Hiel of Bethel, built Jericho, he laid its foundation at the cost of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, son of Nun. Now, Elijah, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. Ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the Wadi. But after a while, the Wadi dried up because there was no rain in the land. The word of the Lord, my friends. Carrying along with the prophet's theme, I don't know if it's a treat. Is it a treat, John? We'll say it's a special treat. You get to have a special anthem today. John and I are singing Wild and Lone, the Prophet's Voice, which is hymn number 163. I encourage you to follow along in your hymnals.
Thank you.
Our second lesson today is a little bit of a continuation of the first, skipping to 1 Kings chapter 18. Things have been very desperate and difficult in Israel. And after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year of the drought. Yes, the third year of the drought, saying, "Go, present yourself to Ahab. I will send rain on the earth." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. The famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Now, Obadiah revered the Lord greatly. When Jezebel was killing off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them 50 to a cave and provided them with bread and water. As Obadiah was on his way, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, fell on his face, and said, "Is it you, O Lord, my Lord Elijah?" He said to him, "It is I. Go, tell your Lord that Elijah is here." And he said, "How have I sinned that you would hand your servant over to Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there's no nation or kingdom to which my Lord has not sent to seek you." And when they would say, "He's not here," he would require an oath of the kingdom or nation that they had not found you. But now you say, "Go and tell your Lord that Elijah is here. As soon as I've gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. So when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have revered the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and provided them with bread and water? Yet now you say, 'Go, tell your Lord that Elijah is here. He will surely kill me.'" Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" He answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now, therefore, have all Israel assemble for me at Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." And if you know your Bible, you know that what's about to happen is that big showdown at Mount Carmel between Elijah and those prophets. But skipping over to Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." When Kermit the Frog, yeah, that's the first time I've ever started a sermon with Kermit. But when Kermit the Frog promised many years ago that it's not easy being green, I must say I have to take his word for it. I have never been green, nor plan to ever become green, if I can avoid it. Though, to be honest, it doesn't really seem that big a thing to be green if green is your color. Everyone's favorite ogre Shrek can attest to that also, and if you don't know Shrek, your grandkids or great-grands know Shrek. It also might not be easy to be green in a world that is not typically green. Think also the Grinch. But to be green really works out for all of them in the end. It certainly, I think it'd be a lot easier to be green than to be a prophet of the Lord God Almighty. If you were ever given the choice, if anybody comes up and says, "All right, here's your choice. You can either be green or be a true prophet," you might want to take the green option. Prophets have just about the hardest road to travel of anyone. Even though they have it tough, they are extremely needed right now. Don't we need prophets? Yes, we do. And they needed them back then as well. Last week, we witnessed the kingdom of Israel fall apart just about literally. It was ripped to shreds like Ahijah's garment and trusted to different people. The northern 10 tribes were given to Jeroboam, and the tribe of Judah stayed with Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Things went bad to get to that place, and they only got worse. King after king in both kingdoms were not worth much. Only two of the southern kings are ever actually regarded as good over the course of hundreds of years. And today, we're at the worst of them. If you have any working knowledge of this time of Jewish history, you will have heard of Ahab and Jezebel. They have that reputation for being corrupt and evil, as bad as they come. Jezebel was a Phoenician princess, and this was an arranged marriage with Ahab, the son of the king there, for political reasons. Not only did she erect places of worship to her god, Baal, but she went after the prophets of Yahweh and had them killed. Times were super tough. Things were desperate. That's when God stepped up and said, "But I am the only God here." Baal was the god of the storm, the god of rain, the god of fertility. So what did God do to show how false Baal was? Created a drought. Then, just like a lightning strike, we have one of the greatest prophets, Elijah, who just explodes in the text without any warning. And immediately he's off to challenge the king. That seems pretty risky to me. Things are so bad that the prophets who are left are in hiding. People die and disappear in these days. You heard Obadiah's fear in this. He knew how hard things were for the people of God. It's better just to keep your head down and try to get along, right? Not for Elijah. Not for the prophets of God. Not for people of faith who are called to take action to confront power of injustice and oppression. Here's the thing about prophets. When they show up, when a prophet shows up, it's time for decision. Prophets show us where the crisis is, where God's love is pushing against the edges of evil and death and sin, when something must change, or there's going to be even more trouble. That's what the word crisis actually literally means, a decision or a judgment. In a time of crisis, a decision must be made. God shows us times of crisis to make that choice, to decide whose people we will be. This passage from 1 Kings brings us right up to this huge crisis moment between the prophets of Baal and the Elijah of Yahweh. Remember, maybe you are disappointed that I didn't actually read that story. It is one of the most dramatic and exciting stories in the whole Bible. But you might remember that God demonstrates in that story who is the true God. But Elijah is still the one who must walk into dangerous and desperate places, calling the people to see the crises in which they stand. It's no wonder that Jonah tried to run away from having to be that lightning rod for God. Elijah himself struggles to follow through later in his story. We need prophets who call us back to what is important. Farmville has seen prophets step up to call our attention to what's not right, to what God needs us to change. When the powers of this world have tried to dehumanize or diminish God's children, prophetic voices can shake us up and even scare us. However, they're never welcomed. God's word in prophets' mouths are always hard to hear. No one wants a crisis in faith. That's what Jesus is expressing. I hope you see what Jesus did. Back in the old days, the prophets were just a few strange, specific individuals whom God had chosen to announce God's judgment and to lead the people on better paths, right? Well, that's not exactly entirely true. There were many more prophets whose names we never know. Sure, we know Elijah because he's the prophet of prophets. He's the one who at the very end of the Old Testament is identified as the one to herald the Christ. Jesus is suspected to be Elijah for some. Elijah shows up at the transfiguration of Jesus with Moses. He is huge in the Jewish consciousness. But there were many, many other prophets who felt called to witness God's life-changing word. Some of those prophets might be right here in this room. That's the wonder of what Jesus lays on us. Anyone can be a prophet. Sure, there were big prophets back in the old days. They did mighty things, calling the people to make a choice. They were not treated very well for their words. They never are. But that work is essential and vital for the people of God God still needs us to step up and yell at the top of our lungs what is wrong with the world and our part in it. The just released FBI crime report for last year shows the national murder rate for 2020 rose faster in 1 year than ever in recorded history. The use of guns in those murders was also staggeringly high. We are divided, angry, hateful people, hate crimes, prejudices, racism, polarization, people caring more about politics than people. They're all symptoms of what is wrong in this world. The wealth divide, corruption in politics, children going to bed hungry, the lies living on social media. The world is a sinful and hurting place. There's so much that needs to be changed. That's where we come in. It's so incredibly helpful, but never easy. But all we have to do, find one thing wrong. One thing, something that God brings to your attention, something that moves you to do something different. Church Hill in Richmond has not had a good reputation for quite some time. A poor, diminished, rough place, old homes, just east of the Capitol Complex area in downtown Richmond. That's where my friend Percy enters the picture. He was in seminary and found there a community that needed better neighbors. He moved there with his wife, and they began loving their neighbors, just welcoming children and others into their home. They tutored kids there every day after school. There was such a need for this that they actually opened an after-school program for these children that many would be happy to forget. The program grew and grew. They then opened their own school, an actual complete school, to better meet the needs of the children in their community. They blessed that community from inside out with lots of friends and lots of help. Church Hill Activities and Tutoring is still there, also called CHAT. Still there and ministering to the community through tutoring, after-school programming, and workforce development. East End Fellowship is the worshiping community that emerged from this vision. Church Hill Academy is that fully accredited school giving young people a different future. Fighting for people around you is a good way to start being a prophet. Not just the people we like or who look or act like us, but to those who are really different. Those who might even seem to be trouble. God pulled a fast one on the people back then in Israel. Every time the prophets of Baal or Jezebel herself said the name Elijah, they were admitting the truth. The name Elijah means Yahweh is God. So that's hard to hear if you don't want to believe it. It's hard to hear that God's love overcomes every obstacle, even us, if we don't want to hear it. It's hard to hear that God needs us to love our enemies if we don't want to hear it. It's hard to hear that every single one of God's children is chosen and precious in God's sight if we don't want to believe it. Afghanis, illegal immigrants, Democrats and Republicans, even people who think the vaccines have microchips in them. A prophet's greatest service could be her or his worst nightmare, but we should thank God for every prophet who has helped us to become better in spite of ourselves. God bless the prophets, all of them who have come, and those who are just waiting to happen. We need you. To God be the glory. Amen. It is time for us to respond to God's word, to the way the Spirit is speaking to us, and we do this by reclaiming our faith as part of our Presbyterian and Reformed tradition. Let us take this opportunity now, friends, to express our faith using the Nicene Creed, found on page 34 of the hymnal. Join with me. Let us rise and speak our faith together.